The following program contains views and opinions which are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Fantastic, Fabulous, Phenomenal Friday, where we do our expository teaching from Thursday. Yeah, that's right. That's how we do that. On the docket today, by the way, how much trouble can we get in by what we say? And here's something to write home about. Can our bad, wrong, hurtful, helpless, negative, fearful, stupid words grieve the Holy Spirit who lives inside us?
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience. Local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what we're looking at during the show. First of all, I'm having more fun than you guys. I'm just going to tell you right now, I'm in the studio having a great time, having the opportunity to share with you about Jesus Christ. And people are out there and are going, and I'm just going, Lord, come on back. That's the way I feel about it. Here we go. We go lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. I'll keep that limited. Spiritual observations. Those are always limited. My life's insanities and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Any topic is open for conversation because it's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. Let's just give a shout out. Well, yesterday, what a fabulous job this guy did. Clint and Mr. Restore.
Here I come to save the day. Yes, sir, when there is a wrong to right, he gets the situation well in hand.
Fire and water damage cleanup, smoke, wind, flood cleanup, sewage removal, other restoration services, or as Clint says, if you've got stuff that's yuck at your place and it needs to be restored, they're the people to call. Free evaluations, advanced drying technologies, they work with all the insurance companies, they're A-plus rated with the BBB, and they have thousands of happy customers. Pretty simple, Mr. M-R, Restore.com. MrRestore.com. As you know, they are connected to the Adaptive Training Foundation, something that we support strongly. Any group that is committed to helping people that have lost one, two, three, or four limbs and have giving them a drive and a hope and a push, that is a fantastic element. We just think it's awesome. But if you've got something going on in your home, in your apartment, in your church, in your office building, whatever the case may be, and you got to get it back to the way it was, that's what Mr. Restore is all about. 877-631-7576. 877-631-7576. Let me say hello to Wonder Julie. Make sure all is well. How are you, Wonder Julie?
I am great. How are you?
I'm doing good. I made an observation yesterday. You'll have to give me your opinion on this. You can give me a grade of 1 to 10. 10 is the highest, although I won't take anything less than a 5. So here we go. So I was watching, I think for about 90 seconds, three different news channels. Like you'd watch it and you'd hear what they say and then you go to the next one and you hear what they say and you go to the next one because you just can't sit there and watch and watch and watch.
Right.
And here's what I figured out. The liberal media does nothing but report bad stuff about Donald Trump and about things that are going on. And the conservative media does nothing but report about what the liberal media reports on. That's all I can figure out.
I don't watch TV news.
Yeah. It's like you're like going blah, 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 blah. I mean, I turned on Star Trek.
Well, if you need something lighthearted, Yes. Hallmark Channel starting today through the weekends doing their 27 best Christmas movies.
Oh, that's the way to go.
And people are putting Christmas lights out on their house.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah. I heard that. And it's like, you know what? We're not going anywhere. Until the Lord comes back, you're moving forward. So everybody relax. And by the way, have you ever checked out Worldometer? It's the number one statistical site for all this stuff. And I can give you the exact numbers right now. But right now, the number in regards to deaths, there's nothing you can do about it. It's math related to how many people are infected in the U.S., how many people have actually died. It's 1.46%. I mean, you can't change math
right.
No matter what anybody says or does. It's like, this is math, okay? So I just thought that was interesting because if it all dies out sooner than people think, they're going to be like but they're going to be going, what was that? I mean, I was driving down to the studio. It was a ghost town going through Dallas. It was
New
like,
York saying 100% nobody can go to work.
Did they ever really work in New York, though? It's kind of like, I kind of
wonder
about that.
They're out on the street. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Because you go in there, it's like, how can everybody always be at restaurants in New York? It's one of those weird things. Anyway, do you have any idea what day it is? Any kind of holiday?
I don't know what day it is, other than Friday.
It's Friday, and we thank the Lord God Almighty for making Friday. And the great thing, that's the one day when they ate manna, when they fried it, because it's Friday. See, just helping you out. It's Bible Mania Day, for those that do not know. That's kind of cool. It's also National Ravioli Day, which is, you know, I like ravioli. I think that's good. It's Alien Abduction Day. I have no I'm just not even going to comment. Just going to move right past it. And then in honor of Mr. Rogers, it's Won't You Be My Neighbor Day.
Oh.
Won't you be my neighbor. On this day in 1897, the first comic book ever that they know of was published, called The Yellow Kid by Richard Felton Outcult, and it was released, and the actual character was called The Yellow Kid. I guess there's not a lot of imagination going on there.
Was he yellow?
I'm going to go with yes, he was yellow.
It was Bart Simpson.
Yellow.
A long time ago.
Yeah. I don't think he had the skateboard, though, but it's just too classic. 1916, on this day, Albert Einstein published his theory of relativity, which really helped the Big Bang Show.
Yes.
Because that's what most people know. And then on this day in 1727, Sir Isaac Newton passed away, just for those that do not know. Okay. We are going to go into expository teaching time.
Wow! All I can say is wow! 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 All I can say is wow!
I have two words for this show. Therapy. Okay, here we go. I did this in the beginning last week or the week before, and I wanted to finish up because I didn't finish up. It's very important. This is Ephesians 4:29-30. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So the Lord always opens my very blind eyes to things within Scripture that I don't always connect or do a good job with. And in this particular case, this comes back to James chapter 3, this text. And you think, well, how could it come to James chapter 3? Pretty simple. James chapter 3 says this: not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check. And as you guys know, in the next 4, 5, 6, 7 verses, it goes on and it talks about the tongue being one of the most powerful elements of mankind. It is by words that wars have started. It was by words that Adam and Eve were deceived. I mean, it wasn't like Satan took Adam and Eve and put them in a headlock and said, you're going to eat the apple. You're going to eat the apple. It was all deceptive words. And so words are one of the most powerful elements. A word is basically it's a vehicle of thought. Did you ever consider it that way? A word is a vehicle of thought. And words have a great deal of impact for and against the kingdom of God. You want to hear some of the things that Jesus said about words? Watch this. By your words, you will be justified, and by your words, you will be condemned. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, wait a second. wait a second, Jesus is my salvation. What do you mean by my words I'll be justified and by my words I'll be condemned? He wasn't talking about the works of your words. He was talking about the fact that in Matthew 15, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, it talks about that the heart, whatever's in the heart, is manifest by what we say. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So because out of the abundance of our heart, the mouth speaks, that's why Jesus connected, by your words you'll be justified and by your words you'll be condemned. Why? The reason is simple, because your words reveal what's in your heart. As soon as you think that, you think, uh-oh. I have never once, as a pastor or as somebody who's preached at churches, never once taught on words, and never I've never had anything less than a full altar call. Everybody up. Because we know that we say things that are really, 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 really bad. We know that we say things that are not helpful, painful even, injurious, depending on what it is that we're talking about, even if we don't think anybody else is listening, God is always listening. And so when the Ephesians 4:29, which I talked about last time, says, don't let any wholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what's helpful for building others up according to their needs, may it benefit that it may benefit those who listen. The idea is not that you're ever going to perfectly, unless you really kind of rein it in, you'll probably never perfectly do that word thing, although you can, because James 3 does communicate that you can get a better handle on it. But what we need to do, instead of feeling guilty or feeling bad or any of that other stuff, is we need to catch it, that we got to watch what comes out of our mouth. Now, it's not a hard thing for us to understand that if you look in the mirror, by and large, 99.99999% of you will agree that you have two ears and one mouth. Because perhaps, I don't know, call me nutty, you should listen twice as much as you talk. And you think, you're one to talk. You have a radio show on television or on a radio, and you talk all the time. Exactly. And an hour before I get here and an hour before I go home, I don't have much to say except for you humble yourself before the Lord. Here's the bottom line. Let's make sure our speech is seasoned with the grace that God intends it to be. I will tell you this. My wife is an excellent cook. You just got to look at my stomach to know that she's an excellent cook. And one of the things that really gets me is when she does any of her seasoning or anything that she does to add the flavor. In fact, she's got this one teriyaki sauce that it's just like, oh my gosh, I'm already just thinking about that now. And so here's the bottom line. The bottom line is those kind of seasonings, those kind of adds, those kind of flavors make a big deal, make a big difference. We need to add the right flavoring to our speaking. We got to salt in a little grace and a little mercy and a little love and a little kindness. Everybody knows that there's a lot of people that are very dumb. We probably don't have to reiterate that. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Going to take a short break, then come back. Don't go anywhere.
All of mankind, destroying everyone.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Do you know how you keep going? Do you know how you keep putting one foot in front of the other? Do you know how you don't give up? Do you know how you don't quit even though you want to quit? You fix your eyes on Jesus. You see with God. When Peter went out of that boat and stepped on that water, there is no natural principle in the world, in any normal universe, that would allow Peter to walk on water. But he did one thing well. He looked at Jesus. And as he was looking at Jesus, the Bible says he walked on the water. He looked at his situation, just focusing at Jesus. Then he took his eyes off of Jesus, and he saw the winds and the waves, and he sank. He lost the correct attitude when he stopped seeing with Jesus in the picture. Whatever you see, whatever you face, whatever you encounter, do not see it or face it in the natural. For we walk by faith and not by sight. So everything you see, you must insert the picture of Jesus.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. We do want to let you know our phone number here, 972-445-0770. Coming up with a trivia question in just a second. Website, hemustincrease.org. Email, david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. We do encourage you to go to hemustincrease.org and participate in giving and helping our ministry go forward. I will tell you, this is not nothing to do with me. Every ministry is like, you know, the first thing to go when things are really tough in the economy is the giving. It's like, yeah, oh well. Do your best, whatever it is. If you can't give, don't worry about it. Just pray that the Lord will multiply what you got. Make sure you look up to heaven and thank God for what you have. Don't complain about what you don't have. Jesus, when he fed the 5,000, is the only miracle, by the way, outside of the death, burial, and resurrection. Okay, outside of that process, outside of that whole the genre of his sacrificing for us, in the formative miracles, the only miracle that's in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is the feeding of the 5,000. It's the only one. And you should be like, wow, that's amazing. Why is that one miracle in all four Gospels? That is a great signal from God saying, whatever you have, look up to heaven, thank him for it, and watch him multiply it. And it will not just feed you, but others as well. Just keep that in mind. That's all you got to do. There's nothing, no big deal there. Okay, let's start the trivia question, and then I'm going to do a read for Kimberly. So let me lift up the trivia question first. Who were Isaac's sons? What were their names? This is super easy. Everybody should get this. This phone should be lit up. Pretty simple. Who were Isaac's sons? He had two sons. What were the kids' names? 972-445-0770. If you get it right, you can have, if you want, one of our bumper stickers. He created the universe. God created the universe. He can write a book. HeMustIncreaseMinistry.org. We'll send it to you for free. We already sent one out today as opposed to waiting till Monday, and we'll just do our best to send it to you. 972-445-0770. Who were Isaac's kids? He had two main kids. What were their names? That simple. Let's give a shout out to our good friend Kimberly.
Our house is a very, very, very fine house with two cats in the yard.
All right, now Kimberly is a real estate aficionado knows. I mean, you could just call her Professor Real Estate. She knows the business. And the bottom line is she can help first-time buyers, experienced investors, people in the process of foreclosure or short sales. She is certainly willing to talk with you, walk you through the process. One of the things that she communicated to me, her and Tony, early on, is they are more committed to helping people than anything else. You know, she's had a big team before. She's developing another team. We encourage you to touch base with her by calling 903-48-HOMES. That's 903-48-HOMES.
903-48-HOMES.
Okay? And give her a holler. You can also connect with her on HeMustIncrease.org. Under Best Ministry Partners Ever, there's two links for her that you can access her, ask her any question you want, just get a feel for what's going on. I know people are like, well, I'm not doing anything right now because it's so fearful out there. You know, you don't let fear immobilize you. That is not scriptural. That is not the biblical way. Sorry. I mean, you're not going to, you know, I had asked the pastor of the church I attended, you know, when they don't allow them to assemble, it becomes a whole separate issue. But until that takes place, it's like, we're going to assemble, do the best we can. It's like, okay. I understand what everybody's argument is. I'm not, just, you do what you believe you should do before the Lord. That's fine. But my point is, you don't exist in this bubble of fear, because that's not only what not God, that's not only what he did not intend, but Jesus taught against fear. By talking about the person who had a talent did nothing with it. And why did that person do nothing with it? Because they were afraid. It's like, that is a bad plan. Okay, let's move on. We're going to get into the teaching. By the way, I cannot believe we do have some work going on the phones, so we're kind of concerned that there might be a little phone zip and zap, but we don't know for sure. So if you know it, try and call in. If you can't get in, you can always send me an email, and I should be able to pick that up. 972-445-0770. Who were Isaac's sons? He had two sons. What were their names? Isaac's sons. There you go. Okay, here we are. I want to get into this next portion and really dive into this portion on verse 30. When it says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful to building others up according to their needs, that it may be benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." In everybody's translations, especially in your Greek translation, that word "and" should actually be there in verse 30. And the reason that that's there is verse 30 and verse 29 are connected. When it says, don't let anything bad come out of your mouth, don't grieve the Holy Spirit, this is a connective lesson. This is a connective sentence, and there's an importance for us to grasp this. And that is, watch this, when bad or wrong or hurtful or helpless or fearful or stupid words come out of our mouths, it grieves the Holy Spirit. Everybody talks about grieving the Holy Spirit by having some kind of massive sin. And you're thinking, if you're committing adultery, you're grieving the Holy Spirit. I agree. If you're lying perpetually, you're grieving the Holy Spirit. I agree. If you're stealing, you're grieving the Holy Spirit. I agree. Using the Lord's name in vain, I agree. If you're doing any of the things, there's just nowhere you're going to get me to disagree. Anything that you do that is contrary to God, anything you do that is contrary to God is sin, okay? Sin is, the word is hamatiar in the Greek. It means you throw a spear at an object and you miss the object. You miss the target. So you have sin, you have in transgression, and you have iniquity. Sin is missing the mark, and then transgression is you're going over the line, but you know it's kind of iffy, but you're still going over the line. You're still choosing it on purpose. And iniquity is just this willful attitude. I could care less. I'm going to sin. I'm going to sin my brains out. That's what you got going on. And we think of all these things in terms of really radical, sinful actions. And all of those things will grieve the Holy Spirit who lives inside you and I. But so will bad words. Bad words, you think I'm talking about curse words. And that's probably the funniest part, because that's what I think the Puritans kind of were pulling out of that. It's like, that's fantastic. But what it's talking about is words that hurt people. Words that speak something other than life. Words that are hurtful and injurious. It's not that you can never... Look, the Dallas Cowboys lost. Boo, that's bad. Okay, that's not negative words. That was just reality for last year. Here's what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is when you speak about a person, or you speak about God, or you speak about something with the wrong spirit attached to it, that's when you're speaking bad words. And those bad words grieve the Holy Spirit. I think, maybe I grieve the Holy Spirit. Maybe you do. Maybe that's why every day, though all your sins are forgiven, it's a great idea to come before the Lord and say, wash me clean. Let's start again. Why? Well, because it's got nothing to do with your salvation. It's got much more to do with your mind than it has with anything else. And that is, when you don't cleanse, when you don't confess and you leave it inside of you, you just carry it with you. And I was like, get rid of it. Confess it up before the Lord. There's no reason in the world to hang on to sin longer than you, the things that you've done, longer than you should. In fact, in the Psalms, David even mentions that his strength was sapped from him because of his sin, like the sun saps out the strength of people who are working in labor in the middle of the day. And he said, and it was all the way that way until I confessed. And then I was fine. It's like, good. See, this comes into 1 John 1:9. Confess your sins, and he's faithful and just to forgive you your sins, cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He'll even cover areas you're not even aware you're doing. He'll cover you on everything. Is this a salvation issue? No, it's not a salvation issue. It's a sanctification issue. Well, but Dave, they say that 1 John, the letter to John, wasn't written to Christians. Dumbest concept in Bible theory ever, since it has the most references to brothers, sons, references to people that are of close kinship than any other epistle, period. It's like the exact opposite of what would be true. It's like, wow, how do you get there? Here's the bottom line. Let the words that we speak be like the Holy Spirit is in our life, giving life, lifting up. You know what the Holy Spirit doesn't do in your life? The Holy Spirit doesn't bring you down. That's what the Holy Spirit doesn't do. Well, okay, then let's make our lives reflect, our words reflect in such a way so as not to bum out the Holy Spirit. You think, well, that's pretty plain and simple language. Yes. Like Koinonia Greek, the common language of the people. And this is what we've got to catch. Our words impact how we grieve and or quench the Holy Spirit who lives inside us. So watch this. So either count to three before you speak, ask God to give you wisdom, or don't say that much. Say a little less. Or at least, if you know you're going to say something, get ready to at least respond to it in a right way. I don't mean to be painful or hurtful. This is where I'm at, da da da, and share the honesty of it. Don't just injure people with what you say. Remember, Proverbs 18:21, life and death are in the power of the tongue. Well, the Holy Spirit is a giver of life, so speak that way. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Going to take a short break, then come back. Don't go anywhere.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
John 7:24, stop judging by mere appearance and make a right judgment. That's all good. For 1 Corinthians 6:2, do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if you are to judge the world, are you not competent to judge trivial cases? You can't say Christians can't judge. They're commanded to. Here it is right here. Ready? Here's the bowling ball knocking down the pins. Every day as Christians, we have to judge what is appropriate, proper, healthy, and useful. Also, what people we believe we should hang out with, trust, believe in, or let influence, we have to judge that on a regular basis. When you choose your church, you're using your judgment abilities.
Bazinga.
I love that. Because listen, when you're choosing your church, you have to decide to pick one over another. Oh, here's the key. You're going to hate me. Ready? Here it is. If we have no ability to judge, we can't vote.
People would disagree with Christianity, but with a sense of respect. Those days are over. The rage, the flesh, the enemy, and the atmosphere of sin is growing and growing. Jesus said in Matthew 24, "The love of many will grow cold." And if it's not the end now, it's certainly a lot closer than it was yesterday. You may be from a Baptist background. David Spoon has that. You may have a Pentecostal background. He has that too. You may have a non-denominational background. Yep, he's got that as well. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
To the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. We do want to encourage you to go to HeMustIncrease.org. I have my testimony up there that was live on radio, plus we have a new audio, plus we have a new video. So there's always stuff going up there that gives you a chance to look at it and keep it fresh and keep things interesting. Let's take a moment, give a quick shout out to our good friend Johnny Hill.
Well, we're moving on now, to the side, to the deluxe apartments in the sky.
All right, so Johnny, one of the reasons Johnny's not in the studio today, because you're probably going, well, Johnny wasn't in this week. It's like, yeah, we're restricting how many people actually come inside the studio because that's what the owner wants to do, which I think Don Crawford Jr. is doing excellent job of maintaining, looking over the structure and making sure everybody's doing what they're supposed to be doing and giving everybody plenty of freedom, but saying, hey, let's do our best to restrict certain movements and certain externals. And that's what we're doing. But in order to get in touch with Johnny, not hard at all, you can go to menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. Their number, 817-707-7672. That's 817-707-7672. menofgodmoving.com. He is also linked to our website, hemissedincrease.org. I know I've told you this before, and I just want to mention again, livinginhisgrip.com is the place that you can get some of our ins and out music free. It's totally there for you to utilize. I'm going to finish up on this Ephesians text. In the next segment, I want to talk to you about something that I think is one of the coolest portions of Scripture, period. And the idea is to be an encouragement. We don't do this show so that we can make you feel guilty. I'm not up here trying to make you feel guilty. I grew up in a Jewish home. Yeah, I got all that. I went through all that process. Okay? Went through. I get it. The goal here is to do our best to move everybody one step closer to the Lord. And if you get one step closer to the Lord, we have succeeded in our mission. Get that? All right. By the way, we still have a trivia question on the... There is a ring. I didn't even get to it yet. We were going to talk about Isaac's sons, what their names were. So we have somebody calling in. See, I'm holding it in my hand, getting ready, and then they call in. So here we go. Hang on one sec. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Well, David, I was holding on. It's Jerry.
Hey, Jerry. What's happening, brother? How are you?
I'm doing fine. I just wanted to pick you up and lift you up and get you on the way to heaven.
I appreciate it, brother.
Your love for everybody that's out there. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good.
We used to
listen. I'm sorry.
Good. We used to laugh in Bible college because the people would say, "Well, he's Jewish. Does he go in the rapture? Does he participate in the rapture? Does he stay on the earth and stuff like that?" And I used to say, "If there's going to be a rapture, there's not a chance any of you Gentiles are getting there before I am."
Amen. Hey, you're right. Yeah, Jew first. That's right.
That's right.
Hey,
exactly.
Listen, yesterday you were talking about heaven and earth. All the preachers preach that this earth's going to be renovated, but that's not what the Bible says. It says in Revelation 20, verse 11, "I saw a great white throne, him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was no place found for them." But anyway, that's a preaching that I've always heard that's been renovated, but I don't read that nowhere in the Bible.
No,
but
it's not a this is not a renovation system. That is the wrong. No. There are four verses, two in the old, two in the new, that make it absolutely clear that our system is not a renovation system.
I'm
new.
Glad that you're standing on that truth.
Yeah, I get
tired of hearing untruths.
Yeah, I don't want a bandaged earth. I'm not looking for that. I mean, I got a lot of band-aids on my body. They only cover up the scars.
the earth's defiled anyway. It's not worth it. I mean, it's a beautiful earth, but man's just ruined it. It's sad.
Exactly. Sad. Exactly. All right, my friend, give me Isaac's sons' names were?
Jacob and Esau.
That is correct! Of course, you are right. Now, you remember who came out? Remember who came out first? And then the second one, what was he doing that was super sneaky? Do you remember that in their birth?
Yeah, he was holding on to Esau as he came out.
Yeah, he was holding on to his ankle. And there's actually some Jewish commentary that says, well, technically, because he was holding on, it's one birth, but it's like, I don't know about that. But here's what I know for sure. That was sneaky. I'm hanging on for dear life. Here we go. Excellent job, my brother. Excellent.
Esau, God hated, but he loved Jacob.
And, exactly.
Course, that word hated, we have to be careful with, because that's not really in the sense of, hey, it's just loved him less than he did Jacob, I would think, in that sense. But anyway.
He's not going around throwing. He doesn't want people going around throwing rocks at other people. That's not what he was going for on that one. So,
all right, bless your heart. You're a good brother. We appreciate you being a part of the kingdom. Thank you.
God bless you, brother. Love having you on as a part of the show too. I appreciate it very much.
You're welcome. All right. We do love you. Thank you.
Take care. God bless. Bye bye. All right. So here, great job, Jerry. Jerry's a great guy. Just a great guy. You know, we've talked a couple of times. And we pray. Just excellent, excellent spirit. Excellent guy. Great believer. Let's finish up on this Ephesians 4:30. Remember, this next segment, I got something kind of totally cool, so just hang out. But I want to deal with this little portion here in verse 30. It's something that a lot of people miss. It says, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." For those that do not know, there's the word "whom" in there. And you think, so, when it says whom, it gives you the understanding that that's a personal pronoun. or is it a personal preposition? I can't remember. But the bottom line is, he's a living being. He's not a power. The Holy Spirit's not a power source. People have this, oh, the Holy Spirit's like a power source that just walks around. Let me tell you what a power source is. When you look at your lamp and the lamp has a bulb in it and there is light that goes through the bulb, there is a power source going through there, and we call that electricity, right? Here's the problem. You can't look at your lamp and go, you are blue when it's silver. You can't lie to that, but you can lie to the Holy Spirit. You can't lie to a power or a force. You can lie to a person. That's what people miss. And the Holy Spirit is a person. And it's like, here it is. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit with whom you were sealed with the day of redemption. That word sealed means to stamp. It's with a signet or a private mark. Watch this. Listen to it. This is the Greek word. For security or for preservation. The Holy Spirit is our tag of ownership. He's why you can't get away with the things that other people get away with, by the way. But he's also the verification that you're saved, that the Spirit of God is living in you. The Holy Spirit resides in you. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. He's in you. And that gives it a tag. And that in you part, which is very important, is should give you a sense of security. There's a preservation in that. And it's a tag of ownership. And that's why when we're talking about words, not grieving the Spirit, that's why you hear me, Dave, you're getting all riled up. Like, yeah. Because the very... We're supposed to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. And so the very notion that we would grieve the Spirit, which is to make sad or to sorrow, to create, watch this, to create distress. And it's like any of the things that we do that's not connected to God, we create distress towards the Spirit, we're grieving him. We're making him sad, and then we're cutting off the flow, which we need, especially in this world. And then it says that you are sealed for the day of redemption. There is a day coming, just what Jerry was talking about. This is not going to be a reissuance. This is going to be new heavens, a new earth. And the Holy Spirit's in our lives, and that's part of sealing the deal. And that seal the deal comes down to Philippians 1:6. He who hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something about God that's amazing. He is not one that gives up. He don't waste nothing. The dumb things you do in your life, he uses those things and he goes, watch, I'm going to teach you something. And you're probably going, well, we could just forget that. It's like God's like, nope. And that's part of it. And so why I'm encouraging you is because guess what? God's living inside you. The Holy Spirit is what Jesus's ministry today is on the earth. There's some weird, like, oh, you can't say stuff like that. So you don't believe in the Trinity. Well, no, I believe in the Trinity. The Father, name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, you do or don't believe in the Trinity. Yes or no? Just to make sure we can all be on the same page, the people who have the Muslim faith don't believe in the Trinity. You're not aligning with them, right? You're trying to say you don't understand. That's fine. Once you say that to God, I don't get it. Show me. Well, I don't understand. Teach me. That's different. But the whole premise here is so that we can be solid in our relationship with the Father, in our relationship with the Son, in our relationship with the Holy Spirit. And some of you are like, I just never feel like I have enough power to make the walk, to do the walk, to do the right things. Yeah, guess why? Let's go out there on a limb. Guess why? Because he who is in you, who gives you the power and the strength to do the things you need to do, is being quenched and being grieved. And it's like, oh, I probably want to stop doing that. Yes, I think so. All right, now, because we're going into the weekend, because everybody's freaking out, I've got a portion of text that I want to read. Obviously, many people's favorites that we're going to get into. And I just want you to, when we come back, to hear the Word of God as it makes its power into your mind and heart. The same breath that went into Adam, the same breath that made him a living being, went into this text that I'm going to read when we come back. And I want you to allow that breath to breathe on you, give you strength, give you power, and lift you up. Okay? All right. You're listening. listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
Because if there is no resurrection, there is no eternal being. Do you understand? It's not like we all do an osmosis and become part of some gaseous cloud that hangs around Jupiter, and that's how we get one with the universe. That's rubbish. Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, and 3 days later was raised from the dead. And every single book in the New Testament testifies to that fact.
The David Spoon Experience.
Man, who was that preacher guy? All right, welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Now we're going to take a break from our normal whatever we do, because we don't really, I don't think, Wonder Julie will testify to this, I don't think we do anything normal.
Not that I'm aware of.
We don't do anything normal, do we? We're abnormal.
Why would anybody want to be so normal?
I don't know. We like Young Frankenstein. We got a brain that says Abby Normal. That's the kind of thing we function around in here. A couple things to tell you. First and foremost, don't forget what a Christian DNA should consist of, because people will say to me, and they've asked me, even my own brother, so, well, how should I be handling everything that's going on? Here it is. I'm going to tell you the DNA. You know, DNA, that's the strand of how you're supposed to exist. That's your code for what you should be functioning in, that your life is. And if you got one thing that's over here, you become this. One thing. Here's the Christian DNA. DNA. D, draw closer to the Lord. N, never be ashamed. A, always be ready. That's our DNA. Draw closer to the Lord, never be ashamed, always be ready. Maybe God won't use you in that capacity today or tomorrow, but maybe it's 2 days from now or 3 days from now or a week from now or a month from now. Doesn't matter. Jesus said, be ready. And you should never be ashamed. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. to the Jew first and then to the Greek. And then draw closer to the Lord. That's a no-brainer. I was talking with somebody the other day. It's like you can sum up the entire, you can have an entire summation of the Old Testament in Psalm 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Yep, there you go. Just live that and you'll be doing great. That's where you get to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And that's it. And so draw closer to the Lord, D, never be ashamed, N, always be ready, A. Okay, I'm just bringing that up to you guys. All right, so there's a lot of stuff going on, a lot of weird stuff. I'm going to drive home, and I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of ghosty town stuff going on. And it's what it is. It's like the Lord's not up there going, oh, no, a virus I knew nothing about. And that's not what's going on. I mean, mankind does that, but, you know, we've been doing stuff like this for ages. You know, the things that we do are amazing. But I want to read this passage to you. It's one of my favorite passages. And I want you to allow the power of the Word of God to make its impact on your mind and heart. Why? Because the truth moves in your system in such a way as to not just strengthen you, but to free you from things that hold you back. Okay? This is out of Romans chapter 8, a well-known portion. Let's listen. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? One of my absolute favorite texts. First and foremost, in everything that we go through, nothing catches God by surprise. Not your life, not your trial, not your misunderstanding, not your corrections, not when you get it right, and not when you get it wrong. God's not up there going, oh, I didn't know. God is omniscient. He is all. He knows everything. He's omnipresent. He's omnipotent as well. He's all-powerful. He's all-knowing. He's everywhere. And it's like God is not being caught by surprise. This is one of the great cementing foundational elements of God. And God will take every item in your life, and he will turn it in such a way as to accomplish his purpose, and his purposes for your life are good. Now, there's people out there, this is a classic, that are out there that's like, well, it's not everything. Okay, but every time it talks about it, it says everything. It says everything, all things, all circumstances. And then people go, well, that's not everything. And it's like, what? What? Did you not read See Dick Run? See Jane Run? Did you not read that? It's very forward as to what the Lord communicates. What he does is he gears things towards conforming to the image of his Son. He gears things towards us going in a certain direction, but he's gearing everything. In fact, if you really want to know about Jesus and the waste factor, when they had extra baskets from the feeding of the 4,000, he said, pick up the baskets and take them with you. Let nothing be wasted. I was like, nah, we're going to use it. And so God, knowing you, and it's amazing if you will read verse 30, he predestined those he called, he justified those he justified, he glorified. In other words, those are all past tense statements of salvation. Because in the mind of God, what he declares comes to pass, and he doesn't exist in just one time zone. God is not a linear being. A linear being is you and I. We are born, that's our birthday, and then we die, that's our death day. Okay? God doesn't exist that way. He created time for our benefit. In fact, Genesis teaches us that. He's an interlinear being, which means he exists in all time frames. That's how you get statements like he always was, always is, and always will be. Otherwise, it doesn't work. But in fact, those are the attributes of God. And because he exists in all the time frames, he knows everything that's going to happen. And he's telling you, hey, I'm working all this stuff out. You're going to reflect my son, Jesus Christ, but I'm going to make it all for your good. So while you could be stubborn and not want to thank him in the beginning of the process, that's just being selfish. You should be able to recognize that in all things you can be thankful because God has a point that he's getting to with it all. And people that disagree with that, you're arguing about somebody being thankful to God. That's just dumb. And in verse 31, it says, what is our response to all this? How do we respond to all this stuff that's going on? And Paul is not just referring to this one justification and glorification and the calling. It's like, what's our response to all of it? And here's his response to all of life. Well, if God is for us, who can be against us? That's not a salvation tract. That's a tract to tell you this is how we should have a philosophy in life. What's that philosophy, Dave? If God is for us, who can be against us? How for us is he? He became one of us in order to help us. That's how for you he is. And he didn't spare his own son, but he gave him up for our sake. He gave up his own son in order that we might do well. And if he gave us Jesus Christ as a sacrifice to help us live, how would he not give us so much more? Now, everybody has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. God shows his love for us, and while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. And if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. All you got to do is call upon his name. You get something like John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. If you have not made the concentrated effort and decision to acknowledge God's testimony regarding his son, it's as good now as it will ever be. All you have to do is ask him into your life and surrender your life. You got to repent of everything you did that's contrary to him and ask him to come in and take over. You don't need the big theology. You need God. You don't need to be a genius. You need to be a believer. Somebody I know very well wants to know how in the world could he ever see the things that I see in my Christian walk. And here's the answer. You got to believe in order to see. Just that simple. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Going to take a 71-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.